welcome you to school board meeting tonight. We have all board members present and Superintendent Sitrud and Jared Black, administrator. We will begin by standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have the consent agenda, the warrants, and the minutes for February 2016 meeting and the financial reports for February 2016. Are there any questions that haven't been resolved? No?
I make a motion that we accept them as we have received them.
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have personnel actions, names for approval.
I have one name, Heidi Lindsay, as a bus driver, a regular route driver, recommended by Roger for, and I'm not sure which route it is. Did he tell you?
Do you know Heidi Lindsay?
I think it's Farron McCaskill. Well,
yeah, she's from Farron.
She was a substitute driver, and then he was just moved into a route because one became available.
Okay.
Typically, we're hiring substitutes, and then as openings become available, we move those who are experienced subs into the regular route position and hire more subs.
So whose place is she taking? Do you know?
I don't remember that. I can find out.
It's not critical. I'm just curious more than anything. I move that we approve Heidi as a...
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? School grade level reconfiguration. We have discussed this as a board, and we have set some parameters that we would like to see with this ninth and sixth grade reconfiguration. One of them is that we don't reduce staff or close schools, basically. Those are some of the things that are important to us. We've talked to a lot of teachers, administrators, parents. We also have the survey that we took from out in the community and directed the administration to come up with some of the recommendations. So I'm going to turn the time over to Kirk to describe those, and then we'll proceed if there's any questions you can ask at that time.
Okay, and I'm going to read this so that I don't get anything wrong.
Do you all have a copy?
Is no, it something? I didn't make copies.
Okay.
I have one here. I have a couple here if the newspapers want them. It's basically the recommendations from the school administration to the board with regard to this issue, and we did give a press release to both the papers here last week concerning the survey and the results of the survey, and some of this is contained in there. But for the purpose of the minutes, I want to read our recommendations. And again, it's based on the studies that have been done. And the studies that we've been doing this year are not just a matter of looking at the movement of kids. It has to do, well, it all has to do with movement of kids. But there's a lot of things to be considered, things that relate to facilities and curriculum, transportation, scheduling, extracurricular activities, the various school population, the academic opportunities, and all of those things that go along with a major change in configuration. And where we're not a growing school district right now, we're actually in a decline. It makes it even more important to make sure that we know what we're doing and that we don't create more problems than are solved. But anyway, it's our recommendation as the school district administration, beginning with the 2017-18 school year, the board moved ninth grade students from Canyonview Junior High and Santa Fe Junior High to Emory High School. We also recommend that beginning with the 2017-18 school year, the board convert San Rafael Junior High and Canyon View Junior High to middle schools and change their names accordingly. And also the sixth grade students from Castledale Elementary, Cottonwood, Farron, Cleveland, Huntington Elementaries be moved to one of the two newly created middle schools according to their current attendance boundaries. We further recommend that the board integrate both ninth grade and sixth grade students into the regular course schedules in their respective schools. Basically what that's saying is that we don't want to isolate sixth graders particularly away from the other students, that we feel like it's important for them to be integrated into the system, but there are some things that will still have to be considered, such as participation in some extracurricular activities where developmental, physical development would have to be considered, and those are to come later in by way of policy. But I quit reading, so if you're trying to find out where I'm at, I'm not there. Okay. We also recommend that endorse teachers that already exist in the current junior high schools, that those existing staffs, as much as possible, remain intact, except where we need to make changes with the move of ninth grade students and the possible move of some elementary teachers to a middle school to work on endorsements and so forth. We recommend that we make every effort possible to staff those new configurations without requiring any current teachers be forced to leave the district due to the change in configuration. We have various options that we want to consider, and possibly there are more that can be considered later on, but that any necessary reductions in elementary staff due to reconfiguration be accomplished by, first of all, if we have vacancies this current school year for next year, that we fill them with temporary one-year assignments, and also not replacing any 2000 those that may retire before the 2017-18 school year unless openings are available after the reconfiguration is done. We also, another option is that we offer those elementary teachers the opportunity to move to one of the two middle schools and complete the required endorsement at district expense, which would include tuition, fees, and books. Another option would be moving appropriately endorsed teachers at the newly created middle school to Emory High School if we need to offset those numbers of staff. If we need to move elementary teachers to the middle school, then we would need to look at possibly moving some of our current junior high teachers who are secondary endorsed to Emory High School, but that the numbers would depend on how many elementary teachers would need to be moved into a middle school setting. And then if there's any staffing needs that that have to be taken care of at Emory High School, because they're the ones getting probably close to 150 new students, that we would do that through new hires, possible transfers, and any other openings that we have in the district because of reconfiguration then would be through new hiring. The district, we also recommend that the board consider and adopt policies addressing sixth grade and middle school participation in extracurricular activities, including sports programs that are consistent with other middle schools in the state, and that are in the best interest of the safety of students when considering individual activities and the physical development differences between sixth and eighth grade students. That the board authorize the district administration, principals, and counselors to begin implementation efforts, including staffing, curriculum adjustments, facility preparation, which there will be some at Emory High School particularly, schedule planning, transportation route configurations, and so forth, and also that the board reasonably provide the necessary and appropriate resources for reconfiguration. I might just add here, as I've said before, that when you initially make this kind of a move, you're moving four grade levels, not just two. Because you will be, at the beginning of the 17-18 school year, if you go back to the 16-17, you're going to be moving both the 8th and the 9th graders that will be there next year, and the 5th and the 6th graders at the same time. That's what makes it so complicated as far as scheduling and registration and so forth, and upon the recommendation of our counselors particularly, they need that time to prepare for the schedules. The middle schools, two of the three grade levels will be new students, or students new to that age group or that school setting. And finally, it's recommended that during the initial years of the reconfiguration, the board annually receive reports from schools on the implementation progress and successes and challenges of the reconfiguration, and receive input from staff, students, and parents on any modifications that need to be made. As the superintendent, I would hereby request that if the board is in agreement with these recommendations, that a motion to accept them be made, and that the board entertain any further discussion before taking a vote. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So do we have a motion, and then we'll have any questions before we vote? Is that what the...
It's generally acceptable to make the motion and then take discussion.
Right. Would you like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, any questions? Any of you, heard you two discussing? Yes.
So with moving 150 students to the high school, will that affect whether they're 2A or 3A or anything like that?
Jim, I don't think it does.
No, they don't count 9th grade when they count their numbers.
It's a good question. It's been asked, and I should have answered that when I made the motion.
Is that correct? They haven't changed that.
They haven't changed.
They don't count the ninth
grade. If anything,
graders.
They're looking at changing to just counting juniors and seniors, right?
Hmm.
So it won't affect classification. However, they're in the process of looking at reclassification right now for the 17, 18 year or 19.
They're going to go into sixth classification.
Yeah.
Doing
reclassification as we speak and taking input almost immediately. So I read an email today from somebody down in San Juan County who was concerned because they had Emory High and San Juan and Grand in 3A. But I don't know if that's just football or if that's for all sports.
I think it's 2A, isn't
it? It said 3A in the email. So.
Well, but the division gets... Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Okay,
I
understand.
Moab,
yeah, I understand what you're saying.
The delineation will be different.
By adding that other
classification,
it would.
In their last meeting, they talked about most sports going to 6A's, a few sports 5A's, and tennis and golf being 4A's.
Really?
So they're
make it
going,
simplified.
Yeah, making it a little.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What's the time frame?
Not this coming year, but the year after.
About when we implement this.
Good heavens. So there will be a lot of changes.
Same year.
A lot of changes that year.
Lots of
so it's very possible that kids will play in
multiple
1A, 2A, and 3A all the same year.
Hmm.
So we could be having kids going a lot of different places.
Yeah, they all go.
Well, yeah, but that sounds really
good. Any other comments out there? Well, we appreciate your input in this. We will call for a vote then. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We will hope for the best with that. There'll be a lot of... There might be a few glitches along the way, but we will work through that. We also have the 2016 capital outlay projects.
I thought that was quite interesting to read through.
And if you have questions about any particular project, let us know. But what we do each year is we ask for requests from each school for larger types of projects that the school typically would not be able to handle with their own budget or personnel. And then the district administrators will go and do a tour of the proposed projects. with the principal and custodian, and then we have a discussion afterwards and try to whittle it down to what seems doable in a year with our combined district resources and a few projects that we would bid out as well. And so probably from 200, 250 initial suggestions or recommendations, I think we're at about 80 there or so. But do you have any questions on those projects? Some of them are listed as maybes, mm-hmm. and our general philosophy towards that is that we like the project, we think it would be nice, we don't see it as critical. So if there's time and availability to do it, we will, but it's not a sure thing. But the ones that we've marked yes, we do try our very best to complete those during the course of the year. A lot of them are done during the summer as much as we can, but some of them do linger throughout the course of the year.
I think it is amazing that our maintenance department can keep our buildings looking good and they're on top of things. That's in talking to different schools, that's their feeling, that they do a lot to make things work, and we appreciate them. Any other comments on it or questions?
You know, I just, is there someone in the district that's, so when I called about the warrants, that atrocious bill from Castle Del City for the water, is there someone on maintenance that inspects so that we don't end up in that kind of situation again with
another? Oh yeah, Carrie's been all over that situation. And
okay.
In fact, he's even gone to a couple of city council meetings.
No,
and
that's what I'd understood. They told me that, but mine is, what I'm questioning is preventative.
Yes.
So we don't, okay. That's, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I had a question too, Jared, on the lighting. Mm-hmm. I see lighting for Green River High, and I know that you've already done something with the possible electrical problem at Green River High. There people are getting shocked, like the custodian, that when he's replacing lights, and those LED lights keep going out, and they're supposed to last 20 years.
And they're under warranty, so those, if any of them do go out, we get them replaced for free.
Okay.
And the lighting we're talking about at Green River High is more in classrooms and hallways, as opposed to the gymnasiums that have already been done recently. We have some of the bulbs that we have used over the years, that particular bulb is being phased out, so we won't even be able to get it anymore.
Right.
So we're replacing them with a newer standard bulb.
Okay.
And that's what it would be. But yeah, in the project we were planning to do at Green River High, we would be trying to address that as well. I know Brett's been down there to look at it a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I think it's still to be determined as far as what's going to be done. But
as the shocking problem, you mean?
Yeah. There's
you know, like 15 years ago, there was a problem with
there
that
was.
Down there.
And now Richie, the custodian, he's replacing those lights. He says sometimes he touches the outside of the housing fixture,
mm-hmm.
and he gets shocked.
He's shocked.
That's a grounding.
That's not good.
No.
I'm afraid the school's going to burn down one day.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it hasn't already, because there's been an electrical problem in that school since the day they built it.
Well, I know it used to be that the kids would jump up and touch the exit signs and get shocked.
They were hooked to 440, remember?
Yeah, but we did that intentionally. No.
They were hooked to 440, the
behavioral
exit signs.
Deterrent.
They did change that, but there just seems to be an
still
ongoing
problem with
problems with the lighting in the especially the auditorium and the gymnasium.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be kind of thrown in with.
Okay, just to try to do an assessment and see where the problem might be, because
it's got to be a grounding issue somewhere.
Obviously,
I don't know if the ground with that shale and that is taking. I'm not an electrician, but I know that you've got to really have it well grounded in order not to get that shocking effect. So I'm sure that they're
something
on top of that.
Looked at.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. A motion is in order for the.
I move that we approve the capital outlay projects as they've been presented.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We need to do appointment of board negotiation representatives. Marie and I were on the certified, and Roy and Julie were on the classified last time.
Yep.
So.
Switch it?
Should we just switch it?
Sure.
So now we're classified?
No, we were last time.
Oh, now we're classified.
You'll be certified next year.
Okay.
Is that all right?
That's fine with me.
Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
Sam, would you rather? I'd be happy to.
No, that's fine.
To bow out and let you do it.
No, you go ahead.
Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
Be the alternate if we can't, would that be all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There wasn't none.
Okay.
There was lunch.
We need a motion to, for those.
Oh, I move that we have those people, that we appoint ourselves to those committees.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I second that, too.
Oh, good. That's good. That's important.
You're on top of it.
Thanks. Let's go to the principal's report. Principal Jones.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome, Canby Junior High. I've asked Mr. Dean Stilson to give the report for Canby this evening. He's a teacher here, and just finished his administrative endorsement. Just want to give him a little plug. He will make an excellent administrator.
Just a few things. First of all, my name is Dean Stilson. If you don't know who I am, I teach social studies here at the junior high, and I also teach the technology classes down the shop. So, Mr. Jones has asked me to kind of give you a little bit of information on our school and what's going on this year. The first thing that we want to talk to you about was our honor roll. We have approximately 46% of our students right now that are achieving it on the honor roll, and that is a 3.5 GPA or higher. And if we drop that down to 3.2, which is still a really good GPA, that even goes up to 61%. So we have a lot of students here who do really well. To reward those individuals, we have every quarter what's called a top cap party. And really any student in the school can attend this party, and it's based on academics, on attendance, and on citizenship. And they can take any one of those routes or all three of them to get on the, to go to the top cap party. Some of the things they've done, on the movies, they've gone bowling, we've had dances and pizza parties, but it's a way to reward those kids who did excel and achieve and work really hard. Another thing Mr. Jones wanted me to talk about was ninth grade participation at Emory High. And of our 65 ninth graders, we have about 45% of them up to now have participated in extracurricular activities at the high school. And we do anticipate that to go up a little bit with spring sports. There's a lot available for them, especially in the spring. With that, we've had three ninth graders that have participated in extracurricular activities here at our school and on the various sports teams here, which obviously is very well. We'll try to encourage them, especially given the reconfiguration, to try and participate in those activities at the high school. As you've talked about ninth grade reconfiguration, I actually have that on here. It's something we wanted to definitely support. We feel that that move should be made as soon as possible, especially for the students and their academics. The opportunity that is much greater at the high school, we can't give them here just because of sheer numbers. We think that would be really, really good for them. So. With junior high sports, so far this year, and I think this is a credit to the kids here at our school and what's going on, we've taken first place in every activity that's been sponsored by the Castle Valley Activities Association, and we do anticipate that will continue both with basketball, girls and boys, and track in the spring. And I'm not sure that's ever been done by a school where they've swept all the sports or extracurricular activities. But that is something that could be achieved this year by Canyonview. Along academic lines, we tried to implement a program that will try and track data and how the kids are achieving, and it's a program called Mastery Connect. It's something that was suggested to us by the committee that came and evaluated our school last year. And we do have a few teachers using it. And what it is we're able to give assessments that are specifically aligned to the standards that we teach. And then it's a computer-based system, so we get the results back really fast. They can take the tests online, they can take them on a bubble sheet, we can scan them. They can even take them just written paper and pencil if they need to. But as soon as those scores are entered, it gives us a really good idea of which students are achieving at the level we want them to, which students are getting close, and also which students need remedial help. I've used it in my classroom with my geography class, and I find it very helpful to see really quickly which kids need help, and then we can go back and we can give them some remediation help and help them to achieve those standards, which is what we're in the business of doing. And also, with it, the recommendation by the committee that came to evaluate our school was that we have data that actually shows that we're doing those things. Hard data, numbers, and Mastery Connect gives us that. So that's kind of why we tried to go to it. And we're hoping that it will be successful as we continue to use it. Another program that we feel really positive about, we think has been really good, and this is tied to our school trust lands money, our community council, is some reading programs that we've implemented. And what we've done is is it five classes?
Yes.
So there's five different reading classes, and we have 36 students who need remedial reading help. And based on their level of reading, they're put into a class. And most of these classes are really, really small, and we have teachers or aides that teach and help these kids with their reading, their literature comprehension. And we feel that this will really help with these kids test, first of all, at the end of year testing that we have to do, but also we feel it will help them in all their other classes. Obviously, if you can comprehend what you're reading, it makes sense that you'll do better. So we feel really good about these, and we have seen significant improvements with those students. So we see a lot of success with that program, and that's something we want to continue to do here at Canyon U. The last thing I have on here is just some upcoming events. We have the solo and ensemble competition, which is actually tomorrow. Both the basketball tournaments are coming up. The B team tournaments will be next week on the 8th, and the A team tournaments are on the 15th.
Where are those at?
The B tournament is at Santa Fe, and the A tournament is at Montcalm. They try to rotate those every year. I think they try to keep one over in Carbon County and one in Emory County, and then they'll switch schools and try to do that every year or so. Leonardo on Wheels, which is a science exhibit that actually rotates through the state, that's going to come into our school April 4th through the 8th.
Oh, yeah.
They put it in the library, and then our science classes are able to go in there and do some hands-on experiments and see some different things related to science. And the last thing I have on here is our closing program is scheduled for May 20th.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
No, I'm glad to hear about the Mastery Connect. That do you get data from that on the reading, those that are struggling with reading? Is that how you get your data to see how they're improving, or how
what
do you
it is on
gauge
Mastery
that?
Connect is, like for me, geography. I go in and I put a classroom into it, a class into it. Automatically, I choose geography for life. Mastery Connect has gone out and taken all the core standards from the states and put them into their system. So I choose Utah, geography for life, and it automatically loads all the standards in it. And then I can go in and I can test those things. I am not sure
how
if
that works with the other.
Specifically is separate. Do you know, Coach?
Well, I'm not sure with the Mastery Connect. As far as the reading program, we have our language arts teachers do some one-on-one reading tests, and then we also have a computer-based STAR reading test, and every student at Canyon U Junior High is tested in the fall. The
strong gains and some improvements.
Maybe I wasn't really clear on that, but those are two different things.
Right, no, you were very clear. I just wanted to know how you assessed the reading part. So anyway, I think that's great. Appreciate you caring about all the students and the ones that achieve and the ones that struggle. That's great.
So how many teachers are participating in the Mastery Connect?
I'm not sure I can say. I know I am.
Five.
Five? Okay.
We're trying to encourage all the teachers to do this, just so they can get a better idea of where their students really are.
Those that have participated in the program, I think, have really, you know, seen some benefits from it. And, we're hoping that some more will buy into it. You get some veteran teachers, and they kind of like doing the things that they do.
Change is hard sometimes.
It is.
Just wondered.
Thank you. Appreciate you letting us come to your school. We have the business administrator's report. Jared?
Yeah, just a couple of things. One thing I wanted to tell you about that I don't know if the board is aware of, but I think it's been something good in the school district. Carrie Allred has taken it upon herself to do a wellness program for the school district. And I don't know if you get any of those emails.
You do.
She'll run 3 or 4 wellness challenges a year, and employees can get points. But anyway, we're seeing about 40% to 50% participation from our employees.
Really, pretty good.
And I think it's been a good thing. So
that is amazing.
Anyway, it was on my mind because each year we tally up points and then give some small prizes. We do a drawing and have prizes for participants. And so we just did that for the 2015 year. And then just a couple of quick legislative related to our funding. Honestly, not a lot has been on the forefront related to funding, but we are hopeful. I think the biggest things that would impact us would be 1 to 2 million of additional NES funding, necessarily existing small schools. That is, we're not sure if it's 1 or 2 that's going to go through, but we think it'll at least be 1 million additional.
Statewide, that we don't get 1 million.
That's correct. And then any WPU increase, any growth funding, we probably won't see a dime from. And if there's any continuation of the capital outlay equalization, we probably won't see any of that like we didn't last year as well. So we'll hope for the best. There's a lot of lobbying and legislation. A lot of effort that goes into it from the School Boards Association and the superintendents and business administrators, but at the end of the day, I don't know how much we actually get across, but we'll hope for a good outcome there. One other that Kirk and I have been kind of monitoring and looking at, it's Senate Bill 38. It's been dealing with more charter school equalization funding. You may have heard about it. I think it's on its 4th substitute now. And from what we're hearing, it's turning into a more and more positive. Hopefully, the end goal is for it to provide a more sustainable revenue stream for charter schools that doesn't take away from traditional school districts. So our latest indication is that the bill would be revenue neutral to school districts if passed, but there's still a lot of specifics in it that we're not quite sure how they'll turn out. And with a lot of bills, we never know until they're passed, and we end up dealing with the repercussions. So we'll see on that one. But I think those are the main issues affecting funding right now.
The executive appropriations is meeting today, tomorrow, and Friday. You may hear some things by Friday on funding. So.
Okay. Thank you, Jared. The superintendent's report.
I think I sent you a schedule. You probably got one in the mail yourselves, too, of the regional meeting for our region.
Yep.
It's in Price on April 14th, USBA.
where they'll talk about the legislative things. And I sent you, there's over 100 bills right now, which is down a little from other years, but it's still a lot. I sent you some summaries of some, and I even introduced you to my youngest daughter on the last page. If you happen to have that and go through it, I'd appreciate you pulling that off and giving it back to me. It has her test scores and her SSID number and her lunch account of balance.
I thought it was a joke. I did too. I hope she got her permission.
It got mixed up in the papers, and when I copied them and stapled them, I just as I got here, I found my daughter's...
Well, you just noticed it today?
Just now, when I opened it.
Well, you were very good.
You can't get to know her better. She's very cute. She's mean as heck.
Oh, she's a little girl.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I have 11 daughters, and let me tell you, it's drama. A couple of others, though, that you ought to be aware of is has to do with student assessment. There's House Bill 200. I don't know its status right now, but it would exempt 11th graders from all core testing starting next year. Actually, any statewide criterion reference test or online computer adaptive test, that could be a problem with a lot of things. But there's also House Bill 201 for substitute that would prohibit the use of the SAGE test or the end of level test as part of school employee compensation, which is probably the shape that our state testing is in right now, and the opt-out. That's probably a good thing if they pull that out of there for now. But it would require other options as far as student achievement. There is a bill, House Bill 277, that's on digital teaching and learning grants, and that's almost $96 million. I don't think it will pass at that. You might see something in the neighborhood of $20 million. But that's for technology in our school districts and to move our technology programs along. But Howard Stevenson also has Senate Bill 38 that Jared talked about, and there's also Senate Bill 45 that's a concern to me. It basically takes away all of the school board and the school district's power to control student attendance. It's compulsory education revisions by Senator Jackson, and wants to change the wording. The wording in the law now says that when a student reaches so many absences that the law directs that the parent will meet with school authorities to discuss the school attendance and try to resolve it. And he wants to change the words out of there that the school shall request that the parent meet, and that they take out of the law that failure to comply with compulsory education is reason to be referred to DCFS for neglect. And to me, this is just a threat to compulsory education all the way through. There'll be no teeth in it. So it's still alive, but it's being fought pretty heavily by school boards and superintendents and other education groups. Senator Stevenson also has Senate Bill 163 that would allow kindergarten kids to enroll, who are 4 years old, to enroll in school between September 1st and the end of December. If parents request and have them assessed, there are challenges with this. One of them is the time that it takes to assess kindergarten kids. It has to be done one-on-one, and you're talking about at least an hour test, one-on-one, and there's no money to compensate the teachers for giving that assessment. The other thing that I found in my experience is that most of us as parents, including myself, think our kids are gifted when they enter kindergarten or when they're 4 years old. And I have a feeling that right now they anticipate 24 to 25,000 new kindergarten kids next year. And if all of them have to be tested and assessed, and not all of their birthdays will fall between September and December, but a lot of them will. So it could be a problem. There's also Senate Bill 176 which is Howard Stevenson. And it says here that the superintendent may not promote, transfer, or increase the pay of an employee of the board unless the employee is or agrees to become an employee designated as an, I'm trying to remember what AE stands for. Something employee. Anyway, it would take away career status, and it would make all employees at will. And it would not allow the superintendent to move any teacher to a career status, or it's a big concern too. And there's another one that would not allow the board to transfer anyone to a school without their permission. So, and there's a whole bunch of others that you can read on your own. And I'm glad you're able to get to know my daughter. So I apologize for that.
I thought you were testing us to see if we were
No, I hadn't planned on spending a lot of time on legislation tonight because of these other things that we had, so I kind of put it back in my mind, and I pulled it out just now to review it in a hurry to give you some information that I wanted you to have, and all of a sudden there's my daughter on the last page. So the request from USBA and the Superintendent Association is still... 4.5% increase besides growth, and then once those increases are met, then we don't have a problem with them looking at professional development and extended day kindergarten being expanded and technology and all the other things. But you have to have a healthy school district in order to implement all those new programs. So before we get new programs, let's make sure the one that we the school system we have is healthy in its infrastructure. And that's the push, and it's also the push of the governor's office. So that's all I have.
Thank you.
That's more than I have.
Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Any public comments? Neil? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't know if the superintendent told you, but he's receiving a lifetime achievement award at the Founders Day celebration.
Oh, he wouldn't mention that to us, so thank you.
Well, there were invitations sent to all of the board members, but if you were like many,
I didn't.
Some who sit right by me saw it and thought it was a fundraising thing from Utah State and threw it away. But I did get him another copy.
When is
I
that?
Turned that down twice, by the way, and the chancellor finally called me, and they're giving their Founders Day on Friday night at 5:30 to 8. They're giving several awards, and they have wanted me to accept their Lifetime Achievement Award. Jared said, it sounds like they think you're going to die.
No, that's not why they're giving it to you. We know why.
I think that's twisting.
Patsy, thank you. I'm a little embarrassed. But
I wanted to know if they did it on purpose at the same night as junior prom.
And I have two junior daughters. That's one of the big reasons I turned them down twice. And so they were working it out so we could do it IVC for Memory High. And I said, no, I'll just come over. And then after that's over, I'll be back at the high school to dance with my two daughters by ourselves. But it won't be the promenade, so by or after. They were very understanding.
Well, congratulations, and thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah. And well-deserved.
Yeah, great. Very well-deserved. Hope you get a big picture in the paper for that. Neil, sorry.
I just want to congratulate the superintendent on that Lifetime Achievement Award. It is very... well-placed and well-deserved.
Exactly.
teachers have asked me to ask, is there, I'm unaware if there is a clear procedure and timeline for hiring a replacement for a superintendent.
Yes, we do have a timeline for that. Hoping to interview the middle of April. We're sending out information right now.
Will the school board be doing all of that, or will you have a search committee?
I don't think we usually have a committee that does that. It won't be the school board that decides that.
Okay. Just like to encourage you to have teachers on that committee.
Yeah, that's pretty important. Thank you.
That's all I have.
Appreciate that, Neil. Any other comments? I'm glad that you're here, Roger and Irene. And anyway, we will go. We have any closed meeting items?
No, except for there's some really nice goodies up in the faculty room that I'd hate to have Canyon View, whoever brought them, if you not get some. But we don't have any.
Okay.
Do you have any? Do you have any closed session? I don't have any.
Oh, my goodness. I hope we adjourn.
Oh, let's.
Move we eat.
That's a second, I take it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you so much.
Thank